We've got a fabulous guest on the line, our Kiwi collaborator for today, and I don't think we've had a Kiwi collaborator for a few days so far. His name is Brian Rearson, and he joins us now from Auckland, New Zealand, north of Auckland, of course, and he's basically an incredibly bright guy who's figured out, like many people, that the entire taxation system that we have in this country, and of course it's mirrored around the world, that's why it's a great fraud, because it works in several different languages, it's all just a fraud. Taxation is a fraud. Okay, let me say that one more time. Taxation is a fraud. Brian Rearson, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vinny.
I'd love it to just introduce yourself, just in the short segment that we have here, your name, your website, and a little bit about yourself.
Right. I'm Brian. I'm a 65-year-old Kiwi. I've had a varied life. I once owned quite a large business, but I ended up, my last little bit of a career, I was driving a bus, which was quite interesting. I've currently retired, and really a couple of years ago I started becoming a little bit of an activist on the political scene. I wrote a letter to the Commerce Commission basically pointing out the longest, what I regarded as the longest running scam in history, being the interest New Zealand was paying on overseas debt on money created out of thin air by the banksters of the world, led by, of course, the House of Rothschild. And for the last 2 years, I've been emailing MPs, writing letters to various newspapers, attempting to get what I believe the truth about these matters out. I have a website. A young man decided to get hold of all my stuff and put it on a website, and it's www.digitalwarfare.co.nz, which some of you might like to look at. And on that, you could email me on zerotaxnz@gmail.com if you want to get any of my stuff, or want to contact me and disagree with me or whatever. My most recent thing, I've been sending by email and physically trying to put flyers in people's letterboxes. Maybe if I read my flyer to you, you can start to understand where I'm coming from. My flyer.
We'll get that. We'll get into this just after the break. My Righto. Very special guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Brian Rearson, our Kiwi collaborator for today. And we'll be right back just after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, proudly brought to you on American Freedom Radio Network. Back in a moment. United we stand, and divided we fall. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us in the chat room there. And also check out GorillaMedia.co.nz where we have fabulous Kiwi activists posting articles daily so that you can be kept in touch with what's going on in our fabulous New World Order. Now, our very special guest is Brian Ranson from New Zealand, our Kiwi collaborator for today from Zero Tax New Zealand. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Vinny. Yeah, I was going to run through the flyer that I'm trying to get out to everybody so that they know who not to vote for when we have our election coming up.
Isn't that like an all-of-the-above box that you can check?
ZeroTaxNewZealand@gmail.com. And okay. I can send you a copy so everybody can send it to everybody in their inbox. Anyhow, it starts with a photo that I've found of some protesters in New York with a big yellow banner saying, "Why pay taxes when they can just print the money?" And, of course, there's something wrong with that flyer because the governments don't print the money, the banksters do. Anyway, my flyer goes something like this. We can have zero taxation and 3% house mortgage for all New Zealanders. The government should own the banking system and the power of money creation, not the private banksters. We can have 3% housing loans on owner-occupied dwellings. Think about this. If the New Zealand government created our own currency internally instead of borrowing it from a private banking organisation that creates money out of thin air, then the government wouldn't need to tax us. New Zealand is a great trading nation. Our exports pay for all our imports. Our terms of trade are in balance. But we pay $20 billion per annum in debt servicing. The New Zealand banking system is controlled by J.P. Morgan, a Rothschild subsidiary, who set up the U.S. Federal Reserve for the Rothschilds in 1910, passed into law on Christmas Eve 1913 when most senators were on holiday. J.P. Morgan is the largest share owner of infrastructure companies in Australasia. This includes a controlling interest in the big four Australian banks who dominate the New Zealand banking market. The big winners from the housing boom and the working for families tax credits have been the banksters. 90% of the New Zealand housing stock existed before the boom, most with relatively small mortgages. Now we are burdened with an extra $170 billion on these houses, debt on these houses. The Rothschild banking cartel created this money out of thin air. Like the $35 trillion paid to the banks in quantitative easing and corporate bailouts worldwide, the money we borrow is created out of thin air by the money creation fractional reserve banking system controlled by the Rothschilds for more than 250 years. The New Zealand government created their own money supply to end the 1930s depression. They used this to build 33,766 houses and the roading network. This was only stopped when they were threatened with trade sanctions by their Bank of England, which was then a private bank owned by the Rothschilds. It is inherently evil for a private concern to have the power to create money instead of democratically elected responsible governments. And I go on to say more about the Rothschilds, how they control the news. They set up Reuters. Rupert Murdoch, for example, is a Zionist. Most billionaires in the world are Zionists. The billionaires in New Zealand almost exclusively are. Our so-called richest man is. The three gentlemen that from small town New Zealand that went to Russia and came back billionaires have Zionist roots. And it goes on and on. So, one of the billionaires in New Zealand, a little bit more about the Zionists probably. These Zionists periodically create depressions so they can buy more assets on the cheap and keep mankind enslaved. In New Zealand, we have a family that was funded by the Rothschilds and bought a house a week during the depression. They now own over 2,500 houses. But that is just in just one city. This was done in every major city in the world. Our own Prime Minister worked for the US Federal Reserve since 1999, when he was appointed to the New York Branch Foreign Exchange Committee. He has been packaged as our Prime Minister and is here to increase our indebtedness and sell off our assets such as Kiwi Bank. We have a bountiful planet with enough for everyone, and New Zealand especially is a bountiful country. The government that creates its own currency automatically has to live within its means externally, but can create great prosperity internally. Education can and should be free. Full employment should be the norm. People inherently want to lead productive lives and can if educated to the best of their ability. And I ended by saying you can find out much more about the true state of the world at our website, digitalwarfare.co.nz. Are you there, Vinny?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is there anything you want to ask me?
Well, you know, the problem of Zionists, and I won't call it a Zionist phenomenon or anything, I'm just going to call them a problem, because that's what they are. it's like some people kind of get confused and they say, oh, if you're anti-Zionist, that means you're anti-Semitic. And I say, well, no, actually most Semites aren't Zionists, and most Zionists aren't Semites. In fact, most Jews aren't Semites either. And people don't know the difference between Jew, Semite, and Zionist, okay? It goes like this. Jewish is a religion, Semite is a race, and Zionist is a political persuasion. Okay, you know we could classify them as say African American or a Christian or Republican. Okay, that's how different they really are, and people kind of tend to lump them all in the same category. Now, I've got no problem with Semites, no problem with Jews. I do have a problem with Zionists, however. Because they're the ones who think that anybody who doesn't go along with the idea of slaughtering people for no good reason, of course, and attempting to control the world via corrupt means is a grand idea, you know? That's basically my beef with them, you know, if you want to kill people and ruthlessly fraud the rest. I'm not happy with you. You know, I should think that was a pretty straightforward thing, but apparently our Prime Minister, John Key, wouldn't agree with me, particularly seeing as I've seen a photo of him at a Zionist meeting.
Right. Yeah, on that tack, Vinny, I like to quote Henry Macau, himself a Jew, from 2009. We have a false society. The central bankers, Rockefellers, Rothschilds, Warburgs, and the rich control the media, politicians, professors, journalists. Those who deviate from the script are quickly marginalized. Our social, political, and cultural life is a charade. Most people who are successful in the public realm are witting or unwitting collaborators. Evil rises to the top. This has ceased to be strictly a Jewish conspiracy. But like everyone else, Jews need to know about it or be manipulated and used forever. They need to know that anti-Semitism is caused by the outsized roles other Jews, half-Jews and crypto-Jews have played. Zionism is an instrument of world government. Henry Macau, 2009. We have a false society.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, if you deviate from the script, you are marginalized.
Yep.
Which is why we can't get the truth from the media, why we are continually lied to.
Yeah. Well, it's the thing. If in order to create a false reality, essentially, you need to control the mechanisms by which people are capable of observing reality. And of course, probably the most effective mechanism of controlling people's observance of reality is television, radio. All of these other forms of media, because those are the things that are essentially supposed to be the people's eyes and ears in the world around. And if those eyes and those ears are either plugged or blinded by Zionist conspiracy, then hey, you've got yourself a false reality. Nice.
Yeah. Are you aware of the two Swiss physicists that did a study of who owns what in the world? Particularly the backbone, what they call the backbone companies of each country's economy. I've got some stuff on that. Very interesting guys. A pair of physicist at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich did a physics-based analysis of the world of the economy as it looked in early 2007. Stefano Battiston and James Glatfelder extracted the information from a tangled yarn that links 25,000 stocks and 106,000 shareholdings in 48 countries, revealing what they called the backbone of each country's financial market. These companies were the banks, the infrastructure companies, the water companies, electricity companies, and they found out the same few people owned virtually all of these 80, but these backbones were the owners of 80% of each country's market capital, yet consisted of remarkably few shareholders. Anyhow, I wrote to them and I asked them who these people were in Australia and New Zealand, and you might be interested in the list. The largest share owner of these companies is JP Morgan Nominees Australia. In New Zealand, it's ANZ Nominees, Origin Energy Pacific Holdings, Barclays PLC, Her Majesty the Queen in Her Right of New Zealand, Nationwide News Limited, National Nominees Limited, Infratil, and Bank of New York Mellon Corporation. And these same entities seem to control the same type of companies throughout the world.
Well, so we're talking about infrastructure, information, and government, and money creation, all under the ownership of international banks. So when people say the international banks own and run the world, they're not just blowing it out of proportion and using a hyperbole. They're being quite frickin' literal.
Yes.
Well, that's nice to know.
Well, I guess you've got to identify the enemy so you can do something about them.
Well, I mean, you have to take ownership of the problem as opposed to just letting the problem take ownership of all your assets.
Yes, well, anyhow, that's basically where I'm coming from. Where I first started to doubt what I was hearing and what I was seeing from mainstream media was way back in 1963 when I saw live on television Lee Harvey Oswald assassinated by one Jacob Rubenstein, also known as Jack Ruby. Purely to stop him proclaiming his innocence. The real reason Kennedy was shot, of course, was because 3 months before his shooting, he passed Executive Order 11110, which was to ban the US Federal Reserve, and the government was to start printing its own money.
And that was closely followed by Presidential Directive 11111111, or whatever, abolishing the CIA.
Right, I didn't get that far.
Yeah. It's just like
Vinny? Anyhow, from my reading, of course, the other main president that was assassinated that we know of was Lincoln. Lincoln's famous quote on banking was, "The government should create, issue, and circulate all the currency and credit needed to satisfy the spending power of the government and the buying power of consumers. The privilege of creating and issuing money is not only the supreme prerogative of the government, it is the government's greatest opportunity. By adoption of these principles, taxpayers will be saved immense sums of interest. Money will cease to be the master and become the servant of humanity."
Yeah, and that was, of course, at a time where the United States economy was exploding. It had 10% growth virtually every year for near on 100 years or so. No interest on the money supply, and incidentally, they didn't have any private central bank. But of course, that was at a 0% interest rate, mind you. And then, as soon as 1913. The old Federal Reserve, keeping it bankster since 1913, I always say, they introduced interest, and then, hey, massive fucking stock market crashes happened. And they managed to buy up everybody's assets for pennies on the dollar for the crisis that they created, because they moved all their money into gold, of course, to retain its value, while they collapsed the currencies and the economies all around them, drove down the value and worth of everybody else's assets so they could buy them on the cheap. Isn't that a lovely scam? I thought it was quite fabulous.
Yeah, of course, that's what they do. That's why we have these depressions and financial calamities, so that they can buy more of the assets on the cheap.
It's just a systemic methodology as well, because you can apply that same principle across virtually any government organisation or any what we call fiduciary position of authority, whether that be the law society or the medical establishment or the military or anything. They all create problems to which the solution is them having more power over other people.
Yeah, are you there, Ron? Just to remind everybody that I do have a website, digitalwarfare.co.nz, and I have an email address where I can send you stuff if you're interested. It's zerotaxnz@gmail.com. Right, anything else you want me to talk about, Vinny?
Well, I kind of wanted to know what actually got you into this sort of field in the first place, and we'll talk about this sort of after the break, Brian, because in my experience, anybody who winds up becoming an activist winds up facing persecution either before or after or during the process of becoming an activist and standing up for truth and humanity, and it's often some description of nasty event which galvanizes one into becoming an activist and actually caring about the consequences of what happens to your country, right? And you know, for me, it was being arrested by the police, as you do, and noticing the big lies and everything that they say and the manipulation of the court system in there. When you experience it firsthand, it makes you very, very upset. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest from New Zealand is Brian Rearson, and we'll be right back at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Yeah, yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo. But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? How many dudes you really know? Like this, let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any. How many dudes you know got skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check.
Welcome
to the
back,
check,
ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Been a little bit hardcore. No, I'm just joking. I'm a nice little pussycat, innit? At the Vinnie Eastwood Show. com. You can check out our archive section with all the fabulous Kiwi collaborators that we have interviewed. More Kiwi activists than anybody else in the history of planet Earth. I can say that with authority. Yes, I can. Speaking of activists in New Zealand, we have one on the line here. His name is Brian Rearson. zerotaxnz@gmail.com. If you want to email him, Brian, welcome back.
Yeah, Vinny. No, I've never been arrested or hassled by the cops, so I guess I'm a little bit lucky. But I really only started having a profile in October 2009 when I made the complaint to the Commerce Commission, copies of which I sent to the Commissioner of Police, the Victoria University Taxation Working Group, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the Serious Fraud Office, Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces, the Banking Ombudsman, the New Zealand Law Society, editors of all New Zealand daily newspapers. I enclosed the Money Masters DVDs to everybody too, and some of us supplied Money Masters to every MP in New Zealand and everybody in the in the press gallery. For what good it did us, I don't know. But at least we
something
tried
tells
to
me not a single
right.
one of them watched it. It's like, hey, look, parliamentarian, university educated journalist. Here's something that'll actually make all your work that you've done your entire life obsolete because you've been living an effing lie.
Right.
Watch it, and they'll just be like, I'm sorry, I don't want to waste my life away. I'd rather just continue to waste my life away.
But as I mentioned, the silencing of Lee Harvey Oswald was probably when I was about 18, and then the official story coming out, and then that being completely disproved by the Gruder film, which was embargoed for 25 years. I mean, all these things make you think, well, hell, are we being led by the nose and not told the truth about other things? And, then you see all the countries America's invaded since World War II, so-called peacekeeping and things like that, you see governments demonised by the media, and then we go, and the people that you should call patriots who are defending their country and trying to hold on to their resources are referred to as rebels and insurgents by our media. Well, I mean, any thinking person's got to say, is this George Orwell stuff? And mm-hmm. I think it is.
Yeah,
And, of course, the current thing we're getting is the Libya thing, whereas I'm finding from sources within Libya that Gaddafi's not like what he's being painted at all. As I understand it, there's very little poverty in the country. Everybody gets a share of the oil revenue. When you get married, you get $60,000 interest-free. And another $10,000 interest free to buy a car. The $60,000 is to get you into accommodation. There's free medical, free education. Nurses are very well paid, for example, because they're considered to be essential. And then you start reading books like Edward Griffin's The Creature from Jekyll Island and John Preston's Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and you realise these outfits like the United Nations and the Bank of International Settlements and the International Monetary Fund aren't really what you've been led to believe. So that's my journey to getting here, Vinny. Unfortunately or fortunately, I haven't been hassled by the police as yet.
Oh, well, just wait a while.
Well, I'm sure I'm on people's list because, as I said, I've been emailing MPs and every editor in New Zealand. And with MPs, I find that three or four of them will always reply for a while, and then it's like they're told, hey, we can't go down this line, and then you get nothing out of them anymore. So,
it's getting
a long, hard battle. And, of course, the average Kiwis, they don't want to know these things, unfortunately. They don't want their eyes open. They like their nice little life, and they like to believe that, hey, this is a pretty good country we live in, and, you know, our media's honest, and our politicians are honest, and they're trying to help us.
I'm sorry. Whenever anybody says the media is honest or the politicians are honest, I just got to crack up laughing. It's a reflex action.
Yes, they don't understand they're being brainwashed by the media.
Yeah.
And let's face it, Parliament gets bogged down in trivialities rather than attacking the big problems that will basically fix everything. We can have great prosperity in New Zealand, but instead we're going to have the austerity which they're trying to foist upon all nations. And good luck to the Irish and the Icelandics that seem to be wanting to throw off the yoke of the banksters and saying no to these austerity measures and more bank loans. So, anything else you want to discuss with me, Vinny?
Well, you know, this is your platform, Brian. I mean, I should be asking you that question ultimately. Now, you've had some interactions with some very lovely scum that I've also ambushed with a camera, namely Peter Dunne. Could you tell us a little? Could you tell us a little bit about Peter Scum? Oh, sorry, Peter Dunne. That was a 40.
Oh, right. Well, before the election of John Key, Peter Dunne, who's I don't know whether he calls himself a Christian party, but he's basically
United Future.
Yeah, but it's a Christian sort of religious party, and he himself is very Christian, and I've got nothing against that, of course. But anyhow, he had supported Helen Clark's Labor government, and a month or two prior to the election, he said that he would be supporting John Key, and had obviously had discussions with John Key about, yeah, if I get my seat and we get a few people in there, we'll support you and help you be a minority government. So anyhow, when I heard this, I thought it incumbent upon me to email Peter Dunne. John Key was basically a currency trader. Currency trading is parasitical. It's not a productive enterprise. For somebody to win in a currency trade, somebody else has to lose. So it's non-productive. And, I mean, these are the questions that have never been asked of John Key. You've got $50 million. What productive enterprise did you create, Mr. Key, to get that money? Anyhow, so I emailed Peter Dunne, and I'd been emailing with my staff, and on occasions I got replies, and actually I got a letter from Peter Dunne at one stage, but this ceased after this email, and from then on my emails had been blocked to him. I emailed Peter along these lines. I said, Jesus threw the currency traders, threw the money changers out of the temple, and you are now going to put a money changer into Vogel House. And Vogel House, of course, is the Prime Minister's residence. So I thought that was the height of hypocrisy. But
let me guess, he decided to turn the other cheek.
No, he didn't turn the other cheek. He sent me from the room.
Oh, no, he didn't bend over and reveal his two cheeks to you, did he?
No, mate. So, yeah, that was me and Peter Dunne. But anyhow, I hope it got into his conscience somewhere. Of course, he was never going to change his mind, which he should have if he was a man of principle.
Speaking of evil scumbags without principle, our Prime Minister John Key, what do you know much about his past?
Well, he joined Fay Ridgewhite, who were the kings of privatisation in New Zealand, and if you read on my website the history of the Rothschild family, the privatisation process is spearheaded by the Rothschilds. In New Zealand, things like the power companies, the water companies, local authorities previously were run by boards, which we did elect, and basically they were older business people, and they worked for peanuts, and their sole object was to supply us with bones, power, water, good supply as cheap as possible. And with privatisation, of course, it's all now about how much money they can get us out of these things. So John Key worked for them. Of course, when things got too hot for Fay and Ridgewhite, and they made their $1 billion each, they snuck out of the country and hid in Ireland, and basically passed their mantle to Graham Hart, who is another Zionist, and is now New Zealand's richest man. And he started by stealing the government printing office for less than asset value. Our Prime Minister at the time, David Longley, threatened not to sign the sale agreement because he knew it was far too cheap. But anyhow, getting back to John Key, he then I think he went to work for Merrill Lynch or some other.
Yeah, it was Merrill Lynch. Yeah,
he was the head derivatives trader
represented on the board of the Federal Reserve.
That's right. In 1999, he was appointed to the U.S. Federal Reserve along with such fine, upstanding citizens as Robert Rubin. He's been groomed by the Zionists to be our Prime Minister, and you cannot say a word against him. He's actually a very personable man, but that obviously groomed somebody that they could sell to the public. although we had Rob Muldoon as Prime Minister at one stage for a long time, and you could hardly call him personable. But John Key is, I mean, he's, in normal circumstances, he'd be a nice guy to have a drink with. He's very personable. But nobody's ever asked him to explain exactly how he got his $50 million. Now,
well, people have asked him, and he always looks at the floor and then looks up at the ceiling and goes, "Send me a letter."
Right.
Which he'll never reply to.
Yeah, so, and really, the press should ask these questions in a true and open society, but we know we haven't got that anymore. And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I've had a pretty good life, I was the first of the baby boomers, and New Zealand was a great place to live in the 50s, 60s, and most of the 70s. It's not as good now, which is unfortunate. And really why I do these things is there's nothing in it for me, but I'd like my grandchildren to inherit a better world eventually. And a world where you can expect the media to give you the truth and all these corporations aren't there to enslave you. And I'm afraid that's what we've got. And it's very disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like, we've got another rich white guy in control of the country. And I'm sure the Americans will really kind of resonate with this because, after all, you've only had one non-white guy who's rich running the country. But this guy's rich anyway. Well, the goodness knows how many hundreds of millions of dollars that Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and all of these other globalist Rothschild-owned bankster scum decide that it's a grand idea to finance all these people that are really, really nice and personable and can read a teleprompter bloody well and know how to not answer a question while talking. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Brian Rearson, and we'll be right back after the break.
The word is about, there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating. Ooh, yeah!
Welcome back, folks. Final segment of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Check out our radio show archives there. And if you would like to support the show, support our great sponsors, including our brand new one, Dr. Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane, who we had on the show. Have allowed us to become one of their Healthy World affiliates. And they have ridiculously awesome health products for you. Now, back to our fabulous guest, Brian Rearson. And I sort of wanted to get a little bit of a backgrounder on you. Now, you used to be a bus driver, yes? And what drives a bus driver to look into the financial instruments that control our country?
Well, it was really just a pre-retirement job, Vinny. Before that, as I said, I had quite a big business in the South Island. And which I sold, and I mucked around for a while doing various little things, and that was my last little job for 18 months. It was an eye-opener. Poor old bus drivers, very hard done by, underpaid, and most of them are on a treadmill, which they can't get off. Anyhow, what we've been talking about to our other listeners from other countries is New Zealand, but basically, you'll all have a variation on the theme in your own countries. On our website, which is digitalwarfare.co.nz, there is a interactive world map, which you click on each country, and it's a world debt map. It tells you how much each country's in debt, what their population is, and how much the debt is per man, woman, and child. And you can see from that map, every country in the world has a similar situation to what we've been talking about in New Zealand. The thing I'm trying to get across is we're being farmed like cattle. See, all this money going to the banksters from New Zealand, it's our hard work that supplies it. Our biggest expenses when we're working are taxation and housing. And housing, the biggest cost in housing, of course, is interest. So we're being bled dry as a country, and we're being bled dry as individuals. And I've tried to get the message across, I hope, that we've actually got a bountiful planet. The food grows, there's fish in the sea. Life should be much better for people. And I know life's pretty good in New Zealand for most people. But for all humanity, we have a bountiful planet, and if we can get rid of this Zionist monster that has enslaved us all and turned us all into cattle, we can make this a much better planet to live on. And I think it'll be an end of wars and things like that. I really think fixing this problem is the way to change the planet.
How do you propose to fix this problem, seeing as it's been in place for hundreds of years?
Well, we've got to... I'm trying to work on the 100 monkey principle. We've got to open people's minds to the truth. And I think it's happening, because we're getting these massive demonstrations in these countries that are being asked to go to under austerity and pay off all these international debts and foreign debts. And that's what people are really protesting against. They're protesting against the banksters. But our media's not going to show that, of course. They're going to show the protesters causing a fight or hitting a policeman or setting fire to something. They're not going to actually get there and say, hey, what are you guys protesting about? And, I mean, really, that's why I'm on the radio today and why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's, I'm just trying to break through to people and say, hey, yeah, your life's not bad in New Zealand, but here's the truth. I mean, it's dreadful that John Key, being what he is and who he is, and we know what he is and who he represents, is probably the most popular Prime Minister in the history of New Zealand, according to the latest opinion polls. So, Vinny, that's where I'm coming from, and, you know, as I said, I think it's the same for every country in the world. We're all indebted to these people, and we're being farmed like cattle. But taking away the hard work that we do, like with GST, income tax, and high interest rates, it's probably half an average man's take-home pay goes in these things. So, I mean, how much better off could we all be if we didn't have to pay these things?
Yeah. Well, and it's just not the one form of tax. It's like all the different forms of tax. I think in the United States, for example, there's something like 1,200 different types of tax. You know, land tax, paycheck tax, bathroom tax, brake tax, cigarette tax, alcohol tax, O'Barry tax, Bush tax. Goodness knows what.
Yeah. So. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to me carry on today, and hope I got through to some of you, and yeah, you've been understanding what I'm trying to say and what I'm in my own little way trying to do. So how are we off the time, Vinny?
We are just about to wrap up. Thank you so much, Brian, for coming on the show with us today, mate. It's been very nice.
Thank you, Vinny.
All right. Brian Rearson from digitalwarfare.co.nz. Ladies and gentlemen, you can check out his website online, as if you can't check out websites anywhere else. thank you for enjoying another edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You can catch up with the archives both at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. And I'd encourage you to visit the websites, tell people about them, click the I like buttons, watch my videos, do the whole kit and caboodle. Please help the show grow, and every single contribution makes up a great, great whole. And I'd like to thank the listeners very much for all their support in this show, and to help this fabulous little, Vinnie Eastwood show keep on trucking, because I'm actually just kind of really having a lot of fun. Isn't that great? Thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again tomorrow.